welcome to the worship service at the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Hayward, California, a multicultural church in the San Francisco East Bay that worships on the seventh-day Sabbath, Saturday. The ministry of the Word by Pastor Paul Penno is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to forgive sin and save from sin by his cross and ministry as priest in the heavenly sanctuary, the third angel's message in verity. Join us now as the service is in progress.
We want to welcome our guest today. My wife worked last night, and I said, well, are you going to sleep through church today? She says, well, she never does anyway, but she says, what, with special music? No way. Our guest today is Jaime Jorge. Thank you.
The Lord. I like that last verse in Psalm 150. It says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And I want to ask you a simple question this morning. Are you breathing? I didn't ask if everything was perfect. I asked, are you breathing? If you are breathing, my brother and sister, God wants us to praise Him. Despite the challenges, despite the uncertainties, because He is our certainty. And we have come together to praise Him this morning. And I don't know if your day is like mine, but it seems that from the moment that I wake up to the second that I go to bed, there is something to do. And it doesn't stop. But God desires that we take time away from the busyness of this world and spend in communion with Him so that we can understand His will for our lives. And even though we may miss out on getting important things done, I believe that we receive a much greater blessing and a refreshing, far greater than anything that this world could offer or give us. And that's why we've come here, to seek that blessing from God and that peace and joy that only He can give us. And this next hymn talks about this blessing we receive. Be still, my soul. Thank you. I invite you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. There's a short story there that I want to share with you. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 38. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets." So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, "Man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat it. So he said, "Then bring some flour." And he put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people that they may eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Now, a couple of years ago, I was in the state of New Jersey doing some concerts for the weekend. And like most weekends, I do a number of different appointments and I go from place to place. And so I was in one church in the morning, and when the service ended, I gathered my things and I drove about an hour to the next place where I was going to be for a concert that night. I didn't have very far to go, so I got there plenty early. They assigned me a guest room, and I went there to lay down, rest, relax, and get ready for the concert. At 5:30, I went over to the cafeteria to eat supper. And then at 6:25, I got in my rental car to drive over to the auditorium so that I could meet with the audio and video engineers to go over the program that was going to commence at 7:30. But as I was about to insert the key into the ignition, I had this horrible and chilling question all of a sudden just run through my head. Where is my violin? You see, I had brought everything with me from the morning service except the violin. I had forgotten it in the front pew of the church where I had been in the morning. And I picked up my cell phone and I called the pastor of the church on his cell phone. But he didn't answer. So I called him at home. No response. The last number I had was the number of the church, and when I rang the church, there was nobody there. And now my mind began to race. And I thought to myself, what's going to happen? Imagine the person introducing me here tonight, all of these people that are paying for their tickets, because this was a concert series. Imagine this person getting up there and saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's concert. Our violinist is here, but not his violin." Oh, and my meal turned upside down, and I grew sick, literally, and I started to perspire and to shake at the thought of this, the disappointment. And then as I was getting all worked up, I thought, well, if God has helped me before, why can't I ask Him to help me again? So I closed my eyes and I said a very brief prayer. I said, "Lord, you know the situation. If there's something you can do to help me get my violin, please make it quick." And I opened my eyes. And I remembered that on my way into church that morning, I had talked with a lady whose family I knew. And she had given me their information with phone number. And so I looked for and found the piece of paper that had this information, and I proceeded to call her up, and she answered after one or two rings. And when she answered, I said, "Lillian, it's Jamie George, and I'm desperate." She said, "Well, what is it?" So I told her. She said, "Let me talk to my husband." She goes to talk to the husband, comes back and says, "Jamie, don't worry. My husband has a key to the church. If you tell us how to get to where we are, where you are, we're going to go to the church, pick up the violin, and bring it to you." And I said, "Hallelujah." It was about 6:45 by now, so I went over to the auditorium quickly. I began to talk to the audio and video engineers to go over the program. I went over the cues, the flow, the order, everything. And then I said, "Okay." They had played the music through the monitors, through the speakers. Everything was done. And I said, we're ready to go, fellas. And one of them looked at me and said, well, Jamie, would you like to play the violin in front of the microphone so that we can hear it and equalize it? I said, oh, you guys are so professional that I don't need to take the violin out. Well, they must have liked that because they didn't say anything else. I went to get other things ready, and at 7:23, my cell phone rings. It's Lillian. Jamie, we had a couple of delays and problems, and we are just now leaving the church. I thought, what am I going to do? It takes an hour to get here. I tried to delay the start of the concert, but it didn't work. The leader of that conference center at 7:30 got up and began the program with a welcome, announcements, a prayer, an introduction. And at 7:37, I got up on that stage. And there are all these hundreds of people in the audience. And I opened my mouth, not knowing quite what to say. And what came out was this. I know that you're here for a concert tonight. But before I play the violin for you, I feel impressed to talk to you. So I started to talk. And I talked, and I talked, and I talked. In fact, I spoke for 43 minutes without stopping. And during this time, I shared with the audience my entire life story. I preached every sermon I knew. And I remember looking at the clock and thinking, Lord, please send Lillian. And now it was 8:20. I was down to my last story. There was nothing else to tell them except what was really going on. When all of a sudden a door opens up in the back of the auditorium and in walks Lillian with my violin. And she comes to the front row and sets that violin down. And when I saw my violin there, can you imagine my elation and relief? I stopped in the middle of the story and I said, you know, I'll finish this story later, but right now I feel impressed that I should play the violin for you. I took out that violin and I played and I played and I played. Nobody noticed anything. They thought this is how the concert was supposed to be. At the end of the program, as I went to greet people in the back, everybody was happy and smiling. There was only one person that came and asked me. He said, Brother Jamie, I noticed something. I saw that at a specific point in the concert, somebody came in and brought you your violin. And I thought to myself, he's figured it out. But what came out of his mouth next absolutely shocked and amazed me. He said, and ever since I saw that, I've been asking myself, does Jamie George have an assistant that carries his violin wherever he goes? As I left her that night, I don't know if you can imagine how grateful I was to the Lord for having worked it out so that I could get my violin and do that concert. But I hadn't thanked him for long when I started getting all angry and upset with myself. I thought, how can I be so forgetful, so absent-minded, so irresponsible as to leave my violin somewhere? And I thought about the last time I did that several years back. And I was getting all upset when all of a sudden I thought about this story of the pot of stew. The sons of the prophets were sitting around the fire. They had finally found something that they could make stew out of because there was a famine in the land. And all of a sudden, somebody tastes it and realizes that it's poisoned. The disappointment. If you and I would have been sitting around that pot of stew, what would we have done with that stew? Throw it out, right? But I want to suggest to you this morning that number one, you and I represent that pot of stew. And number two, God doesn't do to us what we sometimes do with each other. Haven't you ever heard, oh, stay away from that person, they're rotten, they're no good? We may come to God poisoned and messed up because of sin. But God doesn't throw us out. He says, I have a plan for your life. And when we ask for his help, he transforms us. I went to medical school for a couple of years. I didn't finish. I left to do music full time. But one of the things I remember is that flour cannot neutralize any poison. What happened there was that God worked a miracle when those people had faith. What happens in our lives? We ask God for his help, and he sends his Holy Spirit to change and transform our lives. And we go from being broken, poisoned, and messed up to wholesome the way God wants us to be. I'm so glad to know that God doesn't give up on anybody. He hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on me. But the part that we play in all this is to surrender our lives and our wills to Him. And that for me is the most important and the most difficult part. Because you see, I like to be in control. I used to love that saying that goes like this: if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. I used to love doing it myself. Because somehow I felt that if I did it, it was going to come out okay. But you know, as I look back on my life, when I'm in control, everything gets messed up. But when God is in control, things work out all right. And so this song is to encourage all of us to be able to come to the Lord every day and say, Lord, today I surrender all. A young man was on his way to church one Sabbath morning in my native country of Cuba. He had his Bible under his arm and he was dressed up when a communist stopped him and began to harass him and give him a hard time. He said, "You believe in God?" He said, "Yes." He said, I don't believe in God. Because every time I ask one of you Christians to show me where God is, to take me to Him so that I can talk to Him and ask Him some questions, nobody seems to be able to show me where God is or take me to Him so I can talk to Him. There must not be a God. And the young man said, sir, he said, if you look around you, you will see God's work. He said, if you look at nature, you will see God's work. God is so big that He takes up the entire universe. But God is so small that He's in my heart today on my way to church. So if you can't see Him, you must be blind. And if we look outside, my brothers and sisters, if we look at nature, we can see God's handiwork and fingerprints. But as big as God is, He is individual enough that if we ask Him to, He will dwell in our hearts wherever we go. And God wants us to look at Jesus and Jesus only. Why? Because people will disappoint us. We have many wonderful preachers, pastors, and evangelists. But those are not the people we ought to be looking at. We ought to be looking at Jesus. Because as this hymn says, the church has one foundation. Thank you. Praise the Lord. All the glory and honor goes to Him. And I'm thankful and privileged to have the opportunity to be here with you once again. It was a number of years ago, about 7 or 8 years ago, that I was here with you. And they say time flies when you're having fun. I say that time flies anyway, whether we're having fun or not. And a lot has changed in that time. But the best news of all, my brothers and sisters, is that Jesus is coming soon. And we are going to get to go home. And I want to share with you something that has been a passion and a burden for me as we get ready to close our service. In 2001, I had the opportunity to return to my native country of Cuba. For the very first time since my family left in 1980, it had been more than 20 years. At the age of 9, the Cuban government offered me a scholarship to go to Moscow and study music there as long as I would give up my faith in God. And my parents had taught me that it is better to obey God rather than men, as it says in Acts 5:29. And so I told them no, and when I said no, they got upset and they said, well, it's a waste of time anyway because you're never going to be a good violinist. And then when we left and I tried to go back, they wouldn't let me come back. But after 20 years, I was able to return. And I was able to go because someone had a dream. The person that I'm referring to is Pastor Frank Gonzalez, who's the speaker director of a small ministry in the media center in Southern California called La Voz de la Esperanza. And that means the voice of hope. And for more than 67 years, this ministry had been reaching out and has been to the Spanish-speaking people of the world through radio, evangelism, and now television. Pastor Frank was born in Cuba, just like me, and his father had been a political prisoner of Fidel Castro for more than 16 years. And when he came to this country and gave his heart to the Lord, he dreamed of one day being able to go back and preaching the gospel publicly. The only hang-up was that I remember living in the days where if you even said Jesus in a public place, you could go to get arrested and go to jail. So the thought of doing a public evangelistic effort was far out for many people. He went and talked to the government, and it wasn't so far out for them because they said, yes, we're going to let you do this. And so for 9 nights, in one of the largest theaters in Havana, about 2,000 people came every night to hear the gospel preached publicly. 43 other pastors and evangelists from North America went to hold simultaneous efforts in churches throughout the island. And I had the opportunity to be a part of that. I played at these meetings, and then I went to visit around. I saw friends and family I hadn't seen in 20 years. I saw my grandfather that was 87 years old. I went to the house of my very first violin teacher. And I knocked at the door. His daughter answered, and we began to talk. And after a while, I said, well, can I see my teacher? She said, I'm sorry, Jamie, he died 4 months ago. She said, but he remembered you, and he would talk about you. In fact, one of the things that he asked me before he died was, do you think that if Jamie ever came back to Cuba, he'd be willing to play a duet with me? And my brothers and sisters, one of the things that I'm going to do first when I get to heaven is find my violin teacher. And when I find him and give him a hug, I'm going to ask the Lord to exchange our harps for 2 violins so that he and I can play a duet together. And I remember seeing the change in people's lives. The excitement was coming back, reason for living, because after almost now 50 years of communism, those people don't have much. Most people in Cuba make $10 a month, and half a pound of black beans costs $5. So they have no reason to live. But now they know that there is something better that awaits all of us. And I came back from that trip, and I said, you know, God didn't bring me out of here to come to a country like the United States of America where I would be so blessed and so free. I've got to do something. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, what would you have me do? And the first thing that I felt compelled to do was to make sure that I was faithful to the Lord in my tithes and in my offerings. And the second thing was a bit of a challenge. I said, okay, Lord, you're going to have to provide for me the way you have in the past, but from now on, instead of soliciting an offering for my livelihood or this ministry, I'm going to dedicate every offering to go to the ministry of La Voz de la Esperanza as it reaches people in Cuba and around the world. And that was a leap of faith, because I don't know if you know this, but being a Christian musician is not the most lucrative job in the world. But ever since I went into business with God, God has blessed me more than I could have ever imagined. Because it's true that God loves the cheerful giver. And I want to challenge this church today, my brothers and sisters. Yes, we are in difficult times. We are in challenging and uncertain times. But however the uncertainty may be, this is no time to not be faithful to the Lord in our tithes and in our offerings. And I want to challenge this church to make sure that the needs of the church budget are met so that this church can be a beacon of light right here in this community. And if you're faithful to the Lord, whatever happens, He's going to provide for you. Because if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. Be faithful to Him in that respect, my brothers and sisters. Now, if you do want to support this ministry today, there is one way that you can do so. I don't know if we have any visitors here today. I hope so. Every week we ought to have visitors. But Seventh-day Adventists keep the biblical Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. And our aim and desire during these hours is to spend in communion with God and in fellowship with one another. And we leave the rest of the week for all the things that we have time to do. And that's to explain that as you leave here in the sanctuary, as you leave the sanctuary in the lobby, there will be a table that has a number of our CDs and DVD. And you can take them home with you today on the honor system. What does that mean? You go to the table and you take whatever you want with you today. There's a little form that you fill out. There's no talk about money or exchanging of money. You simply fill out this form. The left side you fill out and leave with us. The right side, which has our address on it, you tear off and take home with you, so that after the Sabbath ends, you can take care of it. It's between you and the Lord whether you follow through. Now, I understand the sun sets at 7:21 today, and my suggestion is that at 7:22, you follow through. That's all I'm going to say about that. You get the point, right? Praise the Lord. Now, I want to share with you that I've had the privilege of going back to Cuba almost on a yearly basis now to continue to further the projects and the work and the efforts of preaching the gospel there. And I want to talk to you about the four projects that La Voz has. The first one is to print Bible lessons. As I shared with you, people don't make enough money to be able to afford them on their own, so we have to provide everything. The government regulates everything, the sale of the paper, the sale of the ink. We have been using a printing press from the year 1883. And when they run out of paper, we have to wait for the government. But when they run out of ink, we don't have to wait, because people provide the ink for us. In Cuba, most folks that have a car change their oil every 20 to 25,000 kilometers. And after 25,000 kilometers, instead of discarding that oil, they save it and bring it to us. And after all of those kilometers, that oil is so thick and dark that it works just like ink on that press from 1883. And more than 250,000 Bible lesson sets have been printed. We can print a set of 12 lessons for $1.50. You can't take Bibles into Cuba, but the government will sell them to us for about $4 per Bible. The person that would go to Cuba before me would tell me that when he would leave a service like today, he would stand at the door and start greeting people. And as he greeted people, he tore off all of the books from his Bible. And he would hand them to different families, because most families and churches didn't have a Bible. And these people would go home and study these books, and some of them would memorize the entire book, because the next week when they came back to church, they had to exchange that book with another family. They may not get to see that book again for another couple of years. The third project is to take of these new Christians, 2,000 of them, and turn them into lay pastors. We have well over 1,000 now, coming up on 1,400. We sponsor their salary and their training at $20 a month. And then we equip them with TV and DVD sets. At a cost of about $410, we have more than 1,000 of those already in place by the grace of God. We turn their homes into home churches, and then they can show the videos of the 9 nights of evangelism that were taped by 3ABN when we were there in 2001, and many other resources that we have. And we think that if we could have 23,000 baptisms, because that's how many people have been baptized in Cuba since 2001. If we had that many, imagine if we have all 2,000 of these home churches and lay pastors going, how many more could we have? I want to share with you just one story today. The story of one of our very first lay pastors to receive the TV and DVD set. It was a TV and VCR set back then. He went around the neighborhood inviting people to come to his home church when the meeting started. He had printed up some flyers, and he handed them out. One night, he went to a bar, and he handed out flyers to men that were outside the bar and inside the bar. But there were 4 playing dominoes, and he handed them those flyers. And when he went to turn and walk away, he noticed that in the shadows of the night, on the street, somebody was laying there. And so he took one of the flyers and went to hand him the flyer. And the men that were playing dominoes over here said, "Oh, sir, don't waste your flyer on that man." Each flyer was precious. And when he heard that, he pulled back his arm. The man laying there that was drunk overheard. And in this stupor that he was in, he goes like this and he says, "Well, can I at least see the flyer?" And so he went to hand him the flyer again. And the men over here said, "Look, the reason why we tell you not to bother with that man is because that man you see here is no ordinary drunk. That man is the official town drunk. He is always drunk. He can't help himself. He can't save himself. Nobody can do anything for him. Save your flyer and give it to somebody else." But now that drunk man sat up. And he says, "Sir, if you give me the flyer, I promise I'm going to go to whatever it is that you're advertising." So the man gave him the flyer and left. On the first night of the meetings, of those 5 men at the bar that night, who do you think was the only one that showed up? The drunk man came. He was drunk. He wobbled and he mumbled, but he was there. And the second night he came back, and the third, and by the fourth night he was coming sober for the first time in years. And on the ninth and last night, when the lay pastor finished the presentation and he invited people to give their hearts to Jesus, the very first person who stood that night was that drunk man who gave his heart to the Lord. His life was changed. He was baptized. And now that drunk man is one of our lay pastors in Cuba by the grace of God. So you see, it doesn't matter what condition we come to God in. All that matters is that we come to Him and say, "Lord, here I am." And then, "Lord, do something, help me." And God begins that process of transformation. And if you've come here today and you think that you've done too many things that God can't forgive or change, think again. Because in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." My brother and sister, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart and my heart this morning. And if you haven't given your heart to Him, He wants you to do so. In Luke 22:31, Jesus has said to Simon, "The devil has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." So even if your faith is failing today, even if you feel overwhelmed with the challenges and the problems that you may have, Jesus is there. He hasn't left you. We're the ones that walk away from Him. But He wants to come in. He wants us to open up the doors of our hearts and let Him come in and have a relationship with us. Will you let Him do that? If you've never accepted Jesus, please consider giving your heart to Him today. There's no better time than right now. As bad as things are, we have learned that we can't trust in anybody except God. But if you've already given your heart to Him today, then I have a challenge for you. which is that I want to challenge all of us to recommit and rededicate our lives today and say, Lord, regardless of what I've done, I want to serve you. You tell me what you want me to do with my talents, my energies, my resources, because I want a bank in the bank of heaven where the returns are out of this world. There isn't anything in this world worth missing heaven for. Nothing this world has to offer. And so I invite you to accept one of those three challenges today. As I start playing this song, you're going to receive a little envelope that says La Voz de la Esperanza. And this offering is not intended to take the place of your tithes and offerings, my brother. I want to emphasize that, my brother and sister. If you feel the Lord is calling you to contribute in this ministry, whether $1.50 a Bible lesson, or $4 for a Bible, or $20 a salary of a lay pastor for a month, or $410 for a TV or DVD set, or less or more, that's between you and the Lord. But my brother and sister, be faithful to the Lord in your tithes and offerings. And watch and see what God is going to do. As I close, we will pray. I'll play this last song. We'll pray. And as you leave, the deacons will be standing at the doors to collect this offering. And I will go to the back to greet you as well. I look forward to that day soon when there's not going to be any more inequality, injustice, sadness, suffering, sickness, or death. Jesus will come and will make everything new. I look forward to that day. Let us go from here excited about telling the people around us that live in darkness that Jesus is coming soon. And then we will forever all hail the power of Jesus' name. Thank you for being here today, and may God bless you. Let us stand for the closing benediction. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. What a wonderful day that will be when thousands and thousands, maybe millions of angels line up and begin to play their trumpets. And you will appear. And the universe will be watching. And every knee will bow. Even Satan will have to bow down and worship you and admit that God is love. Lord, what a wonderful day that is going to be, and it's soon from now. Lord, give us the desire to worry about seeking you first and your kingdom. And then you have promised that you're going to take care of everything else, Lord. Give us the desire to live every day as if it would be our last and to go from here to share with people around us that Jesus loves them, that he died for them, and he's coming back soon to take us home. Bless every person here, every family, your pastor, his family, all of the people that work in this church, the secretary, the assistants, the sound engineers, the deacons, the elders, the Sabbath school teachers. Lord, we thank you for being able to walk in here freely and worship you. Lord, may we be together when you come back. And in the meantime, may this church be a beacon of light right here in Hayward and around the community. Hear our prayer, Lord, not because we're worthy, but because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. Because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Join us again next time for the Word of God, which will feed the soul. I am committed to bring you the fullness of the gospel as Jesus has revealed it to us in order to prepare a people for his soon coming.